from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson in today for Michael Krasny. For almost 5 years, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare as it's come to be known, has been the subject of intense political scrutiny. And while the debate will continue into the future, the reality of Obamacare is now. If you don't have insurance, you have until Monday to get it, or you'll pay a penalty. And that penalty won't necessarily be as small as you might have heard. So if you don't have insurance and aren't sure what to do, stay tuned for Forum as we walk you through the available choices. Choices that must be made by Monday, March the 31st. It's next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny. Obamacare is a reality. No one knows how it will eventually evolve, whether it will be expanded or eviscerated. But what we do know is that it's here and that you have until Monday to sign up for insurance or you pay a penalty. And because so few things in public policy are that straightforward, it's a sentence worth repeating. You have to sign up by Monday or you pay a penalty. But that doesn't mean figuring out what to do is exactly easy. Covered CA, the gateway to Obamacare in California, is swamped as the deadline approaches. And so we're going to do what we can over this next hour of Forum to try to answer as many questions as you may have. And joining us to provide those answers, Lisa Alaferez. She's editor of KQED's State of Health blog. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And joining us as well is Emily Bazar. She is the senior writer at California Healthcare Foundation Center for Health Reporting. That's at the USC Annenberg School for Communications and Journalism. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you both join us to answer what I know will be lots and lots of questions over the next 55 minutes or so. We're going to open up our phone lines in just a moment, but let's try to be as clear as we can about what our situation is 6 days before the deadline. Lisa, what does the deadline mean in terms of penalty if you're someone who is not does not have health insurance at this point, has not signed up, and is not going to sign up? What happens?
So most people will face this penalty, which people are focused on the $95 amount, which seems manageable. But actually, it's $95 or 1% of household income, whichever is greater. So if you're making $35,000 a year, that could be not $95, but around $350, and it goes up from there.
And there's no ceiling to that. So if you're making $75,000 a year, your penalty is $750?
It does top out at a certain point, but yes, if you're making $75,000 a year, your penalty would be $750.
And Emily, how much is, do you think, is that fully on people's radar at this moment? When you write your Ask Emily column, for example, are people sort of clued into that fully?
No, Lisa's right. I keep hearing people are still emailing me and saying, well, why should I do this? I'll just pay the $95. And so people really are not paying attention to the fact that it could very well be a lot more than that.
And what are you hearing, Emily, about the kind of phone traffic or website traffic that's happening right now at Covered CA, the gateway to all of this for the Affordable Care Act here in California? Can you even get through if you want to make that decision at this point?
Yeah, as you said, Dave, it's swamped. Covered CA put out some statistics recently saying that the average phone wait time if you call their customer service line is 32 minutes. That's a little bit misleading. That's an average, number one. Number two, another set of data came out recently. It was, I believe it was a survey. Nearly half the people who tried to call in gave up because they were on hold too long, or sometimes there's a message that comes on and says, our lines are so busy, you know, call back another time. So it's a bit of a misleading statistic. Now, at this point, for the people who haven't signed up yet, as you say, there's only several days left, I would really avoid the website or the phone line if you can help it. I would go somewhere where you can get in-person help. From the people I've heard from, that appears to be going a little bit more smoothly, and they can answer your questions right there. So, for instance, you can go to coveredca.com/events. And that will tell you where there are enrollment events in your area. There are dozens and dozens around the state every day until the deadline. And I just looked this morning for Alameda County, for instance, and there are four at various libraries and other places. And these events are free, and there are going to be people there who can help you enroll.
Go ahead.
I was going to say a couple other quick options is you can also go to coveredca.com and find a certified insurance agent, someone who's been trained in both covered California plans and plans on the private market. It does not cost you anything more. It's basically free for consumers. So you can find one of them to help you or what they call a certified enrollment counselor. So these are free services to consumers. Use them.
So this is a really useful point. And Lisa, you were telling me this right before we went on the air, that while all of our focus is on either phone or web, there really are other places where you can get help in person. Do you concur that at this point, what you should really do is get face-to-face help?
Yes. If you're having any frustration at all with trying to be online, I would certainly completely agree with Emily too. We've put a link to on our forum website this morning for this show that you can click and find, in addition to the local events, you can find a link to anyone who can help you in person. And this includes these certified brokers. And I've spoken to some brokers recently who say they're frustrated that they feel that Covered California has not sufficiently informed the public that they are available as an option. And it is, as Emily said, a no-cost option. Their fees, their commissions are paid by the health insurance companies themselves.
So if you go to our forum website, kqed.org/forum, you can find a link, and that'll tell you some of the places that both Emily and Lisa are describing about where you can get additional help. What's the latest on the numbers, Emily? It's over a million now in California, which is only part of the story, right? Because there's also this huge number of people who are enrolling in Medi-Cal. But give us sort of what we now know 6 days before the deadline in terms of the numbers of people who will now have health insurance in some form or another.
Exactly. In California, recently announced that there have been more than 1 million people who have actually enrolled in a healthcare plan through Covered California, which exceeded Covered California's goals and expectations. So, I mean, in some sense, that's a success in and of itself. Now, nationally, remember, Covered California is just for California. Nationally, some other states have exchanges, and there's also that federal government healthcare.gov exchange for dozens of states, and we heard a lot about how much trouble there was with that. They have had – or all – exchanges have enrolled 5 million people or more than 5 million people. So they're aiming for 6 million by March 31st.
And the Medi-Cal expansion and Medicaid expansion nationwide is another huge number of people. But part of what's curious about all this, Lisa Alifaris, is that we don't actually know whether or not those people had health insurance before. It's tempting to think, well, that's pretty great. 5 million people have health insurance that didn't have it before. But that's not necessarily the case. It could be that 4 million of those 5 million had something else, but now they're switching to this.
That is correct. So let's just talk within California. There is Peter Lee said, the executive director for Covered California, said in a press call with reporters that in response to a question about how do we know if people who've enrolled were uninsured or not before? And he said that question was, I believe he said, inelegantly asked or not artfully asked. So it's going to take some time after enrollment is complete. Talked to some people who run statewide surveys, and they will be looking more in detail at this question of who is new to insurance. I think it's a safe bet that the Medi-Cal expansion, because it opens to people, single adults who, childless adults who were generally not eligible in the past are now eligible. So it's a reasonable bet that a good number of those people were previously uninsured, but by all means, not all of them were, that's for sure.
And before we get to our calls, let me give the phone number so people can fire away with their questions this morning. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. We are open for business. We will take your calls. You'll be able to get through, we promise. And you can email us as well at kqed.org. Before we start taking calls, though, Emily, sketch out the Medi-Cal part of this story, because I don't think it's really gotten enough attention, and whether or not they're going to be able to contend with their increased numbers, because the number of people getting Medi-Cal in this state now is an astonishing number.
It is. That's a great word for it. It is mind-blowing, actually, for us health geeks. Last I asked, which was this week – or no, last week, Medi-Cal has 9.4 million members. That is really unbelievable to me. That's basically one in four Californians is on this program, which is a publicly funded state and federal publicly funded program for low-income residents to give them health care. Now, I agree with you completely. I think this is the it's been underreported, this issue. Medi-Cal expands, as Lisa said, under Obamacare, and it is increasing the threshold. You can make more money to qualify for Medi-Cal now, and you can also not have kids, which is a new thing. And I am concerned, based on previous reporting and things that I've been hearing from people on the ground, that access is going to be an issue. Access has been a concern even before the expansion. Can people find a doctor who accepts Medi-Cal? Right. California has one of the lowest rates that we pay to doctors to see these patients. And you are throwing in more than a million people into this program. Are they going to have what is actually considered access, reasonable access, you know, someone who's in their community, somebody that they can get in to see within a month or two, you know? So these are very good questions, and people have been having problems signing up for Medi-Cal, as people have signing up for Covered California. We just haven't been hearing about it as much.
It really is going to be such an important story to follow, I think, in the weeks ahead, because it's great that more people are going to have this. The question is what will they actually have, and how
exactly
will we actually pay for it? Lots of calls already. Phone lines are full. I've already been chastised by my producer to not promise that we will get to all of them. So we'll get to as many as we can. Here's Russ in Sacramento. Russ, go ahead.
Thanks a lot. I've got two quick questions. One is the penalty based on the federal gross income or the adjusted income that you you do on your 1040 when you take off all your deductions?
All right, fair question. Lisa.
And the second –
Go ahead, Lisa. Go ahead, Ross. Give us both your questions.
My second question was just where does – if $75,000 isn't the upper cutoff for the 1% penalty, exactly where is the upper cutoff? And I'll take my answers on the air if that's okay.
All right. Thank you. Lisa, okay. On the first question, whether the penalty is based on gross or adjusted.
So there's a new calculation of income. The Affordable Care Act created a new calculation of income called MAGI, the Modified Adjusted Gross Income. So, yes, the penalty is taken off your MAGI, your adjusted gross income. After
what was
you
the
take-
old O. Henry short story? The Gift of the Magi?
This is a different MAGI.
Okay.
And I confess I am not able to address the second question about the upper threshold for income. And Emily, are you able to?
No, you know, I don't know what the maximum is in terms of that percentage. Now, I do know, okay, so it starts at 95% or 1% of annual household income.
$95.
Whoa, yeah, exactly. $95 or 1% of household income, whichever is greater. And by 2016, it goes to $695 or 2.5% of annual household income, whichever is greater. So even people now who think $95 is not too much, $700 is a lot. And that's happening in a couple of years. And then plus it's 2.5% of annual household income. But I need to find out what the max is.
We'll see. Well, thanks for the question, Russ. It's a good one. We'll see if we can find a more precise answer. But either way, $95 is the minimum penalty. You should be thinking about it. It's almost assuredly going to be considerably more than that. And of course, it's not the only penalty. The bigger penalty you pay, Lisa Alfaris, is if you don't have insurance, is if you wind up in the hospital.
That, yes. And so you could be looking at, as we all know, how astronomical medical bills can be. The other thing I want to point out is that if you're foregoing the health insurance and this decision to pay the penalty, if you're within the if you're at, the $35,000 income level, as I mentioned, you're not only going to pay a penalty, you're foregoing a subsidy. And that subsidy, I just want to remind people, is for people with incomes ranging from about, for single individuals, $15,850 to $46,000 per person, or $32,500 to $94,200 for a family of four. So you want to weigh that into whatever financial calculation you're making.
So to put it slightly differently, if you have a family of four and you're the income provider and you're making just under $100,000, which seems like a reasonable salary, you could still be getting a subsidy that would make your health care much more affordable. Let's go on to our next question. Anne in Berkeley is next. Anne, go ahead.
Hi. I'm currently uninsured and I'll be leaving for service with the Peace Corps this July. So I want to know if I'll be hit with a penalty for not being insured from March 31st to July.
What a great question. So you have April, May, June, and whether or not you would be penalized for not having insurance. So, Emily, take that question. But also, if you would, are there options for sort of short-term insurance that might make sense for Anne before she becomes part of the Peace Corps?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, and technically, yes, you would be subject to that penalty. Under Obamacare's rules, you can only be without insurance for 3 months of the year in order to avoid the penalty. Now, people are probably maybe scratching their heads because if you sign up now, your insurance on Covered California, the private market, your insurance won't start till May 1st. So obviously that means you're going to be out of insurance for 4 months. But for this first year, the federal government has said it will give you a little bit of leeway and probably not, and it won't penalize people who signed up by March 31st. So, Anne, yes, technically you'd be subject to that. Now, you could sign up with Covered California, for instance. You said, gosh, if you sign up now, you'd be signing up for 1 month. Or you could go to the private market, call something like eHealth Insurance, or go to one of those certified agents and just get insurance for a month because, you know, when you leave the country, that is considered, you know, kind of a change. You wouldn't be as subject to it, although that brings up a whole nother can of worms about Americans living overseas.
So just to complete the story on Anne, though, Lisa Alifersi, there are short-term things you could do. And presumably, Anne, you're in a situation now where you don't have another job, right, Anne? Is that right? So you'd qualify for a subsidy, most likely.
Right. I'm working part-time.
Yeah. So other options for Anne?
So first of all, a health insurance plan, if she's joining the Peace Corps, I'm presuming, since that's a federal government program, that she would that there's some coverage for her health insurance then. She could sign up. Anyone can sign up. And then, for example, you could enroll. And then if you get a job, you drop your private personal health insurance because you were getting it through your job, which is effectively what she's doing here. So there's no requirement that you stay on this plan for
okay.
a year.
So it sounds like, Anne, there might be some things that might be worth considering, even though it's for a very short-term amount of time and that wouldn't be too expensive for you to do. Good luck, by the way, in your Peace Corps venture. It's a terrific thing that you're doing. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Can I also just make one plug that people, I hear this actually quite frequently from people. Well, I've just got a month, I've just got 6 weeks, and then my new insurance will kick in. And the problem is, while you may be healthy, anything can happen at any time. I am a fan of being insured, which is I want to stress, is distinct from being a fan of the Affordable Care Act. But I am a fan of protecting yourself financially and your health from the devastation of some catastrophic event.
Let's go next to Jimmy in Berkeley. Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was wondering if you could shed some light. I've been having some trouble with this. I looked up on the treasury.gov's website and that they said that the IRS reported between 2010 and 2012 that there was $488 million spent on implementing Obamacare. And it seems to me like that money could have just easily been spent in putting it into a fund for catastrophic insurance for people who were in the 50 million uninsured. And I'm not really understanding why this huge bureaucracy is so necessary or even the best way of dealing with that issue.
All right, Jimmy, thanks. Taking us off a bit from the the deadline question, but an interesting question nonetheless. Emily, you have any thoughts on that? Do we know how much it's cost so far to sort of implement Obamacare?
It's cost more than $488 million, I can guarantee you that. In California, for instance, to just build coveredca.com, the website, Accenture was awarded a $359 million contract, and that's just for California. So I don't know the total. Perhaps Lisa does. But what Jimmy's asking is a political question, and I cannot really, answer that. This what they came up with in Washington. Is it ideal? I can actually say no, it's not. It's a complicated law. It's very complex. It's hard to get. But beyond that, I just can't get into that political stuff.
Jimmy, thanks for the call.
I will say the Congressional Budget Office has projected out and projects that the Affordable Care Act will ultimately save money over the long term to the federal government. But again, beyond that, I agree this is a political question, and I'm dealing more with the implementation here in California.
Sarah has an implementation question. Sarah, go ahead.
Is it Sarah from Oakland?
Sarah in Oakland. Yes, go ahead.
Hi. Please. Yeah, I'm helping my sister sign up, and she's a resident of Colorado, and she just had a baby in March, and she's on Medicaid right now. And I know that she can be on that for, I believe, 60 days in the state of Colorado. Does that mean that she still has to sign up by March 31st, though?
Emily?
My focus is on California, but let me venture to guess that she is, as long as she is covered by Medicaid, she's considered covered by Obamacare's insurance. She meets Obamacare's insurance requirement. Now, when her Medicaid runs out, she will need to, if she wants to avoid the penalty and have insurance, she will need to sign up for something else, either, Medicaid or go through an exchange.
It's a useful point to be clear about, though. So, Sarah, thank you for raising it.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
Sarah, your sister, when the Medicaid runs out, that is what we've talked about before. It's called a qualifying event. That will allow her to sign up outside of open enrollment. Like a birth of a child, adoption of a child, divorce, those kinds of things will allow you to change your insurance or sign up for insurance outside of open enrollment.
So there is a window where you can still sign up after March the 31st for those sorts of situations. But the other point that's worth underlying, I would think, Lisa, is that Medi-Cal, Medicaid, depending on where you live, what it's called, that counts. I mean, that counts as being insured. So if you're already on Medi-Cal, you don't have to worry about signing up for anything else.
That is correct, and that's the same case for Medicare. Also, I have the response to how high the
The penalty.
The penalty. So the penalty is not according to income. It maxes out at the national average of the national average yearly premium for a bronze plan, which is, I believe I saw a number yesterday that was around $9,000. So your penalty would be looking at your max penalty would be $9,000 versus the cost of buying health insurance.
Which means you'd have to make, $9 million a year or something?
$900,000. don't make me do that.
Anyway, Ross, if you're still with us, it's a big penalty that you could still be subject to. Sarah, thanks for the call, and good luck, of course, to your sister and her new baby. Let's move on to Cedric in Napa. Cedric, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a comment. I've had insurance for 15 years, probably, paying, about $400 a month for myself, $400 that my wife pays. We just recently got covered with, under the new plan, through a local broker.
Cedric, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hold you there because we're short on time. So stay with us. Stay with us over the break. We'll let you finish your question and we'll get you an answer in just a moment. But right now we do have to pause and encourage you to continue to call in. We're going to get to as many questions as we can over the next half hour. 866-733-6786 is the number. 866-733-6786. You can email your questions too or post them on our website. We'll get to all of them after this. This is Forum on KQED. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny as we talk through what options are available to people who have not yet signed up for insurance. Deadline is Monday, March the 31st. Cedric, you started your question and we ran out of time. So pick it back up, please.
it's mostly a comment, but with a question on the end of it. That I did sign up. You know, we got, like I said before, we were paying about $400 each a month. Oh, and by the way, my insurance company, fabulous insurance company, went through cancer about 5 years ago, and they managed to weasel out of paying almost all of it. I mean, they paid less than 1% of what the cost was. And I've been paying for 15 years, so that was a really good system. Anyhow, so we got in the new system, and we get it down to about $300 for both of us per month, which is really nice. But as we're going through it, the broker shows me this is what your subsidy is going to be. And the subsidy was about $1,200 a month. So do the math on that. Now the insurance company is getting almost twice what we were paying, and that $1,200 isn't magic money. You know, it's my money, your money, everybody's money. So it's a tax. It's coming out of taxes. And I wonder if this is more an insurance reform that mostly benefits insurance companies.
Yeah.
I hope it benefits regular people. I really do. But, you know, I was born and raised in England where healthcare was a part of life. It wasn't a part of the profit mechanism.
You know? Interesting point, Cedric. Let's see if we can get some comments from Emily and Lisa. It's worth getting more clarity about, because he's raising the interesting point that don't think that just because you're paying that much, that's not necessarily all that the insurance company is actually getting.
I would say this is one of the talking points that people who oppose the Affordable Care Act and people who are concerned about what's being spent on healthcare will raise.
Elliot writes in this question, Emily, in exchange and out of exchange plans have the same cost benefits networks, so forth and so on. So if you're outside of the subsidy range, there's no real advantage to signing up through the exchange. And so I might as well just sign up directly with an insurer. Is that right?
Very good question. Elliot's right. Same price, same benefits for the any plan that's offered on Covered California is going to be offered at the same price and, like I say, same benefits on the open market. However, there may be some plans that insurers offer on the private market that are not offered in Covered California, or there may be some insurers participating in the private market in some places than participate in Covered California. So, yeah, I mean, if I were in your situation, I'd do what you were doing, which is go with the private market, but I might go with an insurance broker, or you can call an insurer directly if you want, but an insurance broker might be able to tell you what your range of options is.
One of the interesting things that I was reading about this, Lisa Alaferes, is that this has already changed the insurance marketplace. So just to stay with that topic for a moment more, that the biggest insurer, I can't remember if that's Anthem Blue Cross or whatever, has a smaller cut of the market now, that this has bumped up others. Health Net, which used to have a tiny percentage, now has more. It is changing the marketplace to a degree.
Okay, so I want to stress that it is early days. Open enrollment is not complete. When that's a Kaiser Family Foundation analysis that came out. I did speak with a representative from Anthem Blue Cross, and this was the point he made, was we don't know how it's all going to finalize that. I mean, and they admitted this too. The foundation admitted this also, was this is just an early look. In California, though, the determination was that at least in this initial phase, the individual insurance market has become more competitive. So there are more players that have greater than 5% of market share. This was one of the three criterion they used. But in other states, that is not the case. In other states, one insurer has gained more market share, so consumers actually have less choice, or it's less competitive. So in California, on that measure, the Affordable Care Act has opened up competition.
Debbie in El Sobrante is next. Debbie, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question about currently I receive health insurance for my job, although the job the workload has diminished quite a bit, and I'm a little afraid they're going to cut me off the health insurance. So I'm wondering if I can apply for Covered California now, or do I have to wait till I lose the insurance from my job?
Interesting question. Emily?
Yeah, this is a great question. Debbie, Okay. You can go to Covered California right now if you want to, but whether or not you will qualify for those tax credits that will reduce the cost of your premiums, presuming your income falls in that range, depends on whether your job-based insurance is considered, quote, affordable under Obamacare. And in this case, Debbie, are you still there? Are you just talking about yourself, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So in this case, affordability means that you pay less than 9.5% of your household income for your premiums. That's a pretty big bar to jump. So if it's considered affordable under the law, you won't be eligible for those tax credits. If it's considered unaffordable, yes, you will be. But so if it's unaffordable, you might want to wait till you're, you know, if you are kicked off, that would trigger that special enrollment period because it's a loss of job-based insurance, and then you could sign up then.
And then, Emily, can someone in Debbie's situation who's concerned about getting laid off, for someone who loses their employer-based health care once their job ends, can they get coverage instantly, or do they have a gap between the time that they're covered?
That's a great question. You know, there is generally these special enrollment periods last for 30 to 60 days after you have this kind of change of life event. So it's up to you in terms of how quickly you sign up. I mean, presumably, if you know that this problem is coming or you know you're going to be, you know, losing your insurance, you can sign up in, you know, February 12th to get the insurance starting March 1st. But it doesn't always work that way. So there could be a gap.
Here's another question that relates to job changing. Gloria writes, I'm a job seeker with coverage through COBRA. That's the plan that allows you to continue your health care coverage after you've left one job. So Gloria has coverage now through COBRA. But it was unaffordable, she is writing. And so she then signed up through the Affordable Care Act, but it has not paid a premium yet. Now I want to rescind my application because I've now got a new job. So can you do that? Can you just cancel out that, Lisa?
Yes. So this will be something that will be interesting to see on Covered California is how many people who've signed up but not yet paid their premiums have not paid their premiums because they got a job with health insurance. So, yes, she can. If she is already enrolled, I would call the insurer directly and tell them that you want to cancel. But she can also just cancel by not paying her premium. That will ultimately cancel that insurance.
All right. Thanks for the question, for writing that in, Gloria. Debbie, also, thanks for calling in with your question as well. Emily, here's a Medi-Cal question. And since you've written about this a fair amount, I'm going to hand it to you. My mother applied using Covered California, but was told that she was eligible for Medi-Cal. However, all attempts to contact the Medi-Cal office have been unsuccessful, and we don't know whether she is covered or not. What do I do?
I'm sorry that she's in that situation. I've been hearing from people in that situation. You know, there's been a very bad communication, both in terms of Medi-Cal and Covered California. Once people have signed up or think they've signed up, they're kind of left hanging and don't know if they're enrolled or not. There's a couple things you can do. You can call, because Medi-Cal is really kind of administered by your county human services agency, whatever county you're in, call that county human services agency and bug them. You'll get a better, faster answer than you would if you tried going through Covered California, but that doesn't mean you'll get a fast answer because they're swamped too, actually. And, you know, applications are taking a very long time to process for Medi-Cal as well. Another thing, there's something called the Health Consumer Alliance. You can Google that. I believe it's healthconsumer.org. And they've got groups in every county that help people who are in difficult situations with Medi-Cal and that sort of thing. It's kind of like legal aid societies, but that's another resource that they could try to tap.
So, Lisa, you were saying earlier, we've posted something on our website that's a link for people to find out where they can go get help on enrolling. That's presumably, though, for things other than Medi-Cal. Anything else you can add about...
That would actually include
Medi-Cal. That would include Medi-Cal,
yes.
As well. Okay, so part of the advice here is to go find someone.
Exactly. Exactly. If you can find someone face-to-face, someone who's, you know, part of the reason I'm suggesting insurance brokers is because some of them are very experienced with in the insurance industry. I've had, you know, a decade or more of experience. That if I were in somebody's situation, you know, or I was in the situation of having to get insurance now, that's who I'd go to because they know the kind of the ins and outs of insurance.
And they and they know the ins and outs of Medi-Cal as well?
Well, insurance brokers wouldn't be the right ones. I apologize for that. For Medi-Cal, go to these enrollment events, and okay. also the county human services agencies.
Okay, and again, there's a link to that on our website to find out more about that. So to be clear, those events, enrollment events, you can find out about both covered CA programs, insurance programs, as well as Medi-Cal. To Susan in Mountain View. Susan.
Hello. Yes, so my boyfriend is currently enrolled with Covered California, and he doesn't qualify for any subsidies. So he pays like $300 a month. He's getting laid off, and I was wondering if that qualifies as a life event where he can basically re-enroll and pay less of a premium since he'll be essentially without an income.
Yep. Lisa, I mean, Susan, thank you. Lisa.
So in order for him to – this is actually very important because if your income changes, you can adjust it up and down during the year to adjust your subsidy. But – in order to adjust your subsidy, you have to be enrolled on Covered California. So for people who are enrolling who think, well, I don't qualify for a subsidy, so I'm enrolling
in the private market.
In the private market.
And then you lose
and
your
And then
job.
You're well, no, and then your income goes down. Yeah. Say you're an independent consultant and you miscalculate right. your income. You are shut out from
So that's one
for
advantage of,
yes.
of going through Covered CA even if you don't qualify
even
for
if
a subsidy.
You, if,
but yeah. to Susan's question, just to be
so
clear
if,
for you, Susan, if your boyfriend's currently enrolled going to get laid off, that can be adjusted and he can now
yes,
get a subsidy?
If he enrolled in a Covered California plan, he can just go and log into his account, change his income, and he will start to see a subsidy reflected.
All right.
Otherwise,
Susan,
he should drop his insurance and enroll in a Covered California plan.
Does that answer your question, Susan?
Or,
yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, Emily, go ahead.
Or Medi-Cal. If he loses his job and doesn't have the income coming, he could actually go into Medi-Cal. So that's another important reason to contact Covered California, because if that happens, if he does fall into Medi-Cal, he wouldn't be eligible for those subsidies anyway. So,
Here's our next question, another relationship-based question. Anne in Saratoga, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So my fiance and I are getting married on May 2nd. I have insurance and he doesn't, so he'll qualify for my insurance on May 2nd once we get married. Does he need to sign up for 4 weeks of medical insurance in order to avoid paying the fine, or can he get by with 4 weeks kind of in limbo without having to buy insurance to pay the fine?
Emily.
You know, like I said, if he signs up now anyway, his insurance is going to start May 1st. So you would get 1 day of insurance, basically. I can't tell you what to do in this situation, but knowing that, you can make up your mind. I mean, at this point, anything he signs up for would start May 1st anyway.
With the exception that generally, if you get married on May 2nd, usually insurance starts the first of the next month. So now, and if he's been uninsured since January 1st, you would be looking at 5 months worth of penalty then.
That's true.
So, yeah. And the other, I guess the answer would have been if Anne and Anne's fiance had signed up months ago, then could have had coverage for a longer interim period rather than just this now. Because the problem now is that if you sign up now, you don't get it for another month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I have to note that I'm not suggesting people do this, but I think in the first year, the federal government is not going to be quite as aggressive about seeking those fines. And in fact, you kind of self-attest. You're going to be self-attesting as to whether or not you had health insurance on your taxes. And people should tell the truth. I'm not saying anything other than that. But I don't know how aggressive they're going to be about going for the fines this first go around.
Yeah, well, and of course, it is an election year. So there is that part of how people want this all to be viewed. And thanks for the call. Good luck. Have a great marriage. Arthur in Palo Alto is next. Arthur, go ahead.
Yeah, I found that Covered California, for me, has been a godsend. I have a pre-existing condition. I was on the HIPAA plan, which was very expensive, didn't cover much. I had a colonoscopy in January, which was free to me. And if it had been in December, would have cost over $1,200. So I think it's worthwhile signing up for this. The only problem is that the doctor networks are somewhat smaller.
Okay. Arthur, thanks for that heads up. We should touch briefly on the plans themselves. There are, what, 11 plans, Lisa, that are part of Covered CA, but it depends on where you live, because you don't get all 11 if you live in Albany versus living in Fresno. I mean, it depends. Each area has specific plans that are available.
That's correct. So California is divided into 17 regions for the purposes of the implementation of the ACA. And each one of those regions has at least two insurance plans. So there is some choice in each region. But yes, you need to look carefully if you have specific doctors that you like. You need to find out if they are accepting the Covered California plans. Sometimes the doctors themselves don't know because they're affiliated with a group and these decisions are made at the group level. So this is something that Covered California is watching to make sure the networks are not these networks of doctors are not too small to treat the people that have signed up with them.
Ken posts this on Facebook. Are the certified enrollers, I guess it means the brokers that we've been talking about, unbiased? If I go to one of them, will they steer me away from a provider? Or should I go directly to the provider, such as Kaiser, and get enrolled that way? Lisa?
So there are three entities that can enroll you. One is you can enroll yourself online. You can choose a plan yourself. Two is there's actually a difference between the certified enrollment counselors and the certified brokers.
Oh, okay.
So there are insurance brokers who are licensed in California, and then in order to sell the Covered California plans, they needed additional certification. And quite many of them got this certification because it's to enhance their own business. And then the certified enrollment counselors are usually affiliated with grassroots organizations, community organizations, and they too have taken this training in order to enroll people in Covered California. So in theory, the insurance brokers usually represent a variety of plans, and also the counselors are in theory representing a variety of plans. But it pays to do your own homework as well.
In your reporting on this, Emily, have you bumped into this at all? People feeling like they're being steered into a particular plan?
Not so much, but it is an excellent question. What I have run into is that in speaking with one of these brokers, it sounded like he didn't – this might have been for the private market, not for Covered California – but that he couldn't sell, or he was only selling plans from certain insurers. So like he might have had agreements with certain insurance. So what I would suggest is if you want to go see one of these brokers, that you would ask them, if I come to you and want to sign up for a Covered California plan, are all that are available in the county, do I have those options through you, basically?
A couple of quick questions I want to get through here. Liz asks, is there a deadline for Medi-Cal enrollment too?
No.
Is it also March 31st? Emily?
No, great question. I wanted to mention this earlier. There's no open enrollment per se for Medi-Cal. You can sign up any time of the year.
Max writes, how do they calculate my income if I failed to file taxes for the last few years? Well, Max, how do they calculate that?
I'm not going to address tax policy here. The modified adjusted gross income is basically it's your income minus certain deductions. There's a formula that's very easy to find on Google. If you just Google MAGI, MAGI, ACA.
So you come up with your own calculation if you haven't been filing taxes?
No, it's based actually on your adjusted gross income, which is a tax. It's on your taxes. So MAGI is adjusted gross income plus tax-exempt Social Security benefits, tax-exempt interest, and tax-exempt foreign income. But there are some sources of income that aren't counted that are very common, like SSI and workers' comp.
So does Max just have to sort of face up here, or what do you do if you haven't filed taxes?
This is a good question. For people who are not required to file taxes because they don't make enough money, They are exempt from the Obamacare requirement. However, Max sounds like he's not in that. He sounds like he's making a choice not to file taxes. And that, I don't know quite what to say to him. I mean, I think he's in trouble on two fronts, maybe the fine and the tax issue.
All right. Let's go to another call. Good luck, Max. Ann in Davis is next. Ann, go ahead.
I'd like to know if the fine is prorated. I begin Medicare in May, and I've been uninsured for, years. So the only month that I would be liable for the penalty would be April, because that would be 1 month more than 3 months.
And so, you start Medicare, did you say? Medicare in May.
In May.
Okay. Yeah. Emily, is this perhaps where you're going to offer optimistic words about penalty enforcement?
You know, I am not the IRS. I wish I could say for sure, Anne, that you wouldn't get you won't get fined. Mm-hmm. I don't think you will, but I'm not the IRS. So you have to take it's a risk that you would want to take on your own, kind of thing, you know.
Well, if it were prorated, it wouldn't be so bad. But if they want to charge me the whole 1% just for basically missing 1 month, that would not be good.
Well, that's a good question. Are the fines prorated? If you are covered for 9 months of the year, does that mean your penalty is only, you know, 1/4 of 1% of your penalty amount?
If you're covered for 9 months, you're not penalized. That's the minimum you have to be covered to avoid the penalty. But that's a great question about the prorating. I haven't heard anything like that. I don't think so.
We'll see if we can find out, Anne. I mean, Anne's going to be covered for 7 months, so it sounds like her penalty.
I would recommend calling a tax professional. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Jackson Hewitt Tax Services has made understanding the Obamacare an integral part of its services that they offer to their clients during tax preparation time. So I would call a tax professional.
Okay. Good luck, Anne.
Okay. Thank you.
Claire in Palo. Oh, sorry, Claire. Hang on. We'll get to you. Going to go to Eric in San Jose next. Eric, go ahead.
Hi. My son is a recent graduate from college. He's living at home, and he's basically working. He's a musician. He's working the band and getting the band going. And I'm wondering if it would make sense to get him on his own separate coverage, separate from my employer.
If he's under 26, Eric, he still can be on your plan, right? Is that so? The question is, so he's covered
he
under yours. 26. You're just wondering if he should qualify on his own. Yeah, thoughts on that, Emily or Lisa?
So part of it is, do you declare him as a dependent?
Yeah,
I do.
Okay, if you declare him as a dependent, then if he goes to apply on Covered California, he will have to state the entire household income. So I think either if he's on your plan until he's 26, I mean, these are decisions obviously for your family, but that's my off-the-cuff assessment. Emily, do you have anything else?
No, exactly. That tax question is very important. If he's a dependent, then your salary will count towards him, both for Medi-Cal eligibility and for Covered California. In fact, even if he's eligible to be claimed as a tax dependent and is not claimed by you as a tax dependent, he can't get the tax credits from Covered California. So it may be that your health policy is the best option until he's 26, but you guys got to figure that out.
Eric, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Now we'll get to Claire in Palo Alto. Claire, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I'm a single female. I'm 28. I've signed up for through Covered California, and I am eligible for Medi-Cal. So my question is I've signed up as a family, not as an individual. My mom has health insurance, and so my summary pretty much was that I can qualify for Medi-Cal, but I don't know if I should go ahead and take Medi-Cal or if I should try to get a better plan and sign up as an individual instead.
I don't understand how you've signed up as a family with your mother who has health insurance. Can you just elaborate on that a little?
So you could either have the option to sign up as an individual or a household. So I've listed everyone in my household.
Ah, but do you claim them as your dependents?
No.
Yeah, it's not about how you live. It's about taxes. So you are an individual for the purposes of the Affordable Care Act. And your eligibility for Medi-Cal or subsidies is determined by your income. So if your income puts you in range for Medi-Cal, then that's where you fall.
Okay. So if I
wanted... you're ineligible for subsidies. If you're eligible for Medi-Cal, you're ineligible for tax credits from the exchange.
I see. Okay. So that's the key point then. If you're good to go with Medi-Cal, that's the route you have to take, Emily, is that right?
No, it's not the route you have to take. You can sign up for Covered California, but unless you have what's known as share of cost Medi-Cal, which is kind of, she'd know, if you get Medi-Cal for free, you can sign up for the exchange, but you'll have to pay full price for a plan. You cannot get tax credits.
Okay, Claire, hope that helps. Let's get to one more question because Ty wants to question something that we said on this program. So we'll get to that. Ty, go ahead.
Yes, I believe it's misinformation to cancel medical insurance or anything else by not paying the bill because that results in a credit cancellation. That can affect your credit rating. Anytime, and because of liability, anytime you're canceling something, although you may call in and say, I want to cancel this and that, it has to be followed up by mail or an email to define the actual date of the cancellation. To do anything else might affect the person with a bad credit rating.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. Emily, would you concur with that? I think you were saying that was one way you could cancel was to just avoid payment.
No? I'm going to lay this one on Lisa.
I did that. Confess up. I've tried so hard to be careful about not giving advice where I don't know. Okay.
All right, so thanks for the clarification, Ty. It's useful to know. So don't just not pay. Yeah.
Call your insurer and cancel and then follow up in writing.
Emily, go ahead.
Yeah. Dave, I just checked my phone email here, and I've heard from Roy Kennedy, who's a spokesman at Covered California, who's been listening, and he wants us to know that if you have a special and if you have a change of life experience and want to enroll in Covered California during a special enrollment period, you have 60 days from the date of the change in your life, but there could be a gap. Remember that question about whether there's a gap? It depends on when your insurance runs out. So he says, call Covered California right away.
So this is for those people who are getting married or who have some sort of circumstance like that,
lose their jobs,
there may be more wiggle room. Is that right?
Well, there's 60 days in which you can sign up for a plan through Covered California. That's your special enrollment period. If you miss that, then you're out of luck until the next regular enrollment period.
All right. 6 days and counting. Emily, thanks so much. Emily Bazar is the senior writer with the Healthcare Foundation Center for Health Reporting at USC Annenberg School of Journalism. Thanks for all your help and all your answers this morning.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
And Lisa Alaferes is our editor for KQED's State of Health blog. Lisa, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Amanda Stupai is our engagement producer. Danny Bringer, our engineer. Dan Zoll, our senior editor. I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.